It's 88.5 KCSN. Nick Harcourt, your host for the morning show. And Anna Calvi joins us. You're in studio. I haven't had a chance to meet you yet because you were so busy tuning up and all that stuff, and we were doing something else in here. But welcome to KCSN.
Thank you.
I know you've got a show in town tomorrow night, right, at the Royce Hall?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic place. Have you played there before?
No, I'm looking forward to it.
I think you can have a good time there. It's very, very beautiful. But why don't we hear a couple of songs, and then we can come back and catch up a little bit. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. So tell us about the first song you're going to play for us.
This is the first song off my new record, One Breath, and it's Suddenly.
It's KCSN with Anna Calvi.
Calling out the need to protect me. Comb the earth to find me a stronger hand. I stand on the edge of sadness that I can't face. It tastes like I'm leaving.
It's 88.5 KCSN, Nick Harcourt with you on the morning show. And Anna Calvi is our guest in studio right now. And I'm just sort of jumping in for a moment while she's changing guitars and throwing headphones back. I was just killing some time there, telling a few jokes, you know, all that kind of stuff as you change guitars. Next song up is?
this next
Do you need to tune? Do I need to tell another joke?
I think I'm good.
I was walking down the street the other day. No. All right. And our next song is?
This is Eliza.
Glad you're here. Anna Calvi on the morning show with Nick Harcourt. It's KCSN.
Lonely won't hold me for good. Peaceful as dreaming she stood. To see her, to be her, to change. As if like a kiss we're the same. So hold me up, hold me up. If only I could be you, Eliza. 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 My sister, my pistol below. If you could know all that I know. I'm falling, no warning away. Tomorrow, tomorrow's too late. So hold me up. I know that I could be. And godless, I wait to leave this soul behind, entangle the jangle of bells. They ring my fear through the night.
Great stuff in studio this morning, a live session from our guest, Anna Calvi. Who you got in the studio with you there on the piano this morning?
I've got Glenn Callahan on piano.
Welcome, Glenn. Thanks for coming in. No problem. And let's talk a little bit about the music then, Anna. As I said, I didn't get a chance to meet you before we went on air this morning, which is kind of unusual. I do like to usually say a quick hi, but you look like you're all right in there. We're taking care of you, water and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So the new album, One Breath, and came out about a month or so ago, I guess, and we should point out that you are at Royce Hall at UCLA tomorrow night on the same bill as Chelsea Wolfe. But you're just here for a couple of dates, right? New York, LA, San Francisco, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff going off in Europe. But can you tell us about this record? It's the second one, obviously, and for our listeners who've only perhaps heard a couple of songs and don't really know too much about you, let's back up, I guess. The first album, your background leading into the first album, when did music first come into your life? I'm presuming young. And when was it something that you knew you wanted to play and write yourself?
I started playing the violin when I was 6, and the guitar when I was about 8 or 9.
Now, was the violin something that your parents were like, okay, we're going to give our kid an instrument?
No, I was like begging them
For the violin?
To get me a violin, and they were like, okay, when you're 6, we'll get you one.
Why a violin?
I don't know. I saw a violin, and I was just like, oh my God, I have to play that.
And then obviously coming to guitar, and when did you first start writing songs?
When I was about 10, I think I wrote my first song.
What was it called? What was it about?
Well, it was about imagining I was in David Bowie's band, the Spiders from Mars.
Oh my gosh.
But we were called the Rock Spiders, you see.
I would have liked to have been in David Bowie's band.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I would have liked to have been Mick Ronson, I think.
Me too.
So early influences then, obviously some classical music, I think, as well as a little bit of glam.
I guess, well, I went to university to study violin originally, and so I learned a lot of sort of 20th century composers that I probably wouldn't know about.
Like?
If it wasn't for the fact. Well, you know, Messiaen and Debussy, Ravel, John Adams.
How did those people, their composition work, influence you when it came to your own music?
I think it's just about texture and using instruments to create almost like a visual image. For me, it's really important that the music tells the story as much as the lyrics.
Can you explain what that means, though? Because I think I know what you mean, but it sounds very esoteric for the music to tell a story.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, in film music, you're told what you should be feeling from the music.
Sure.
It doesn't have any lyrics, but you still know. I guess it's a similar thing. It's about kind of creating atmosphere and suggesting a feeling without using words.
So when you write, what comes first for you? The music, the words, the melody? How do you write?
I usually kind of just write with a guitar and sing a melody, and usually the kind of the fundamental idea of the lyrics comes out when the melody comes out, and then I flesh it out afterwards.
Now, do you write lyrics all the time? I mean, there are different ways that songwriters, you know, come to this. Sometimes people will just be writing all the time and have scraps and come back and then sort of try and put them together, or do you write very much in the moment?
I write ideas quite a lot. But like whole lyrics, I don't really do that, because usually lyrics are more subconscious, and it's usually the melody that suggests the lyrics to me.
Do you write from personal experience, or do you write from what you see around you, or a bit of both?
A bit of both, yeah.
So by the time you came to make your first record, obviously they always say you have your whole life to make your first record. What was the approach to that first one?
I think I really wanted to make something that I was just happy with, and not worry about whether it's not really particularly fashionable for the trends that were happening in London. I'd got into Ennio Morricone, and I just wanted to kind of experiment with creating almost orchestral textures, but through using the guitar. So that was kind of where I was coming from.
How long did you spend on that first one? What kind of process was that for recording for you?
It was over about 2 years that I recorded and wrote that record.
Right. And obviously you got a little attention through that with, you know, Brit Awards for Breakthrough Artist and, you know, Mercury Prize nominations and all that stuff. What does that mean to you to get that kind of recognition? Is that important?
It's really nice when, you know, you do stuff and, you know, you have no idea whether people are going to even ever hear it. And so to have kind of any recognition, you know, obviously is really important. I wouldn't say it was, you know, the most important thing. Obviously, I have to make music that I'm happy with. But it was a nice kind of extra thing for me.
So that was just a couple of years ago, obviously. And when you get that kind of attention, is there any pressure on second time around?
I think it's more pressure for me of, like, how can I develop as an artist and as a songwriter, and where should I go next? But these are all kind of personal pressures rather than the pressure from outside.
So how do you feel you've developed as an artist in between your first album and the new one, One Breath?
Well, you know, it's a constant exploration for me, and this time I wanted to explore having a wider spectrum of emotion and colour. on this record, and just to write from a more personal perspective, to experiment more with my voice, that, you know, working out how to sing in a way that's quiet but still really intense.
Yeah, I had actually asked you about music and writing. I didn't ask you about singing. Are there any vocalists in particular that have influenced you, or that you listen to, or that inform?
Yeah, lots. I mean, Maria Callas is one, and Edith Piaf. I mean, I think I'm just drawn to singers that are very expressive and raw and don't hold back anything, even if it means it can get a bit ugly sometimes. I think it's just an honesty and vulnerability, even when you're singing kind of loudly, that I get drawn to.
Well, I'm so glad you took some time while you were in LA to come down to Northridge and play for us.
Oh, it's great to be here.
There is a show tomorrow night, as we said, at UCLA's Royce Hall. You haven't been there. I know you're going to have a great time, because based on the influences that you have and the music that I know that you're into, I think that place is going to be a great place for you to play. You're going to dig it. So you're going to wrap things up for us right now. We're going to finish our show up, actually, with the last song. What are you going to play for us?
This is Bruce Springsteen's Fire.
Ooh, nice. So this is going to take us out. I'm Nick Harcourt. Anna Carvey's been our guest in studio this morning. Jim Nelson will be up at the top of the hour. Have a great weekend, everybody. Anna Carvey taking us to the top of the hour with a Springsteen cover.
I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio. I'm pulling you close. You just say no. You say you don't like it. Oh, I know you're a liar. 'Cause when we kiss, oh, fire. Later at night, I'm taking you home. I say I wanna stay. You say you wanna be alone. You say you don't love me, but you can't hide your desire. 'Cause when we kiss, a grip so strong it couldn't tear me apart. Your nerves are jumping, acting like a fool. Your kisses are warm, but your heart stays cool. Romeo and Juliet.